recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Welcome in a very special Top Guy experience tonight. I'm your host, Cassio, and we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Ernest the Cat Miller. Mr. Miller, how are you, sir? Thank you for joining us, man.
Man, I'm doing great, man. And I would say hello, but I don't know how many people are watching this right now. So I'm going to just say one big hello to everybody, all four of you guys.
We got more than four. And then there'll be more watching later as well when this goes up on ad-free shows. So we appreciate you joining us. I know you can beat everybody in under 2 minutes.
Bro, in today's world, it don't take 2 minutes.
Really?
A whole 30, let me say, 30 people in the room, I can probably take care of them about 30 seconds.
Ooh, it's fast now.
I'm a bad man. I got older, but I'm smarter.
You got plenty of time to dance after that, too.
Man, I'm going to dance, and I'm going to keep dancing. I might dance while I'm kicking a little you-know-what.
Well, we're going to have fun tonight. First, I want to start off, Ernest, because you got a big project coming on. Of course, everybody knows not only your wrestling days, you are an actor as well. We saw you, The Great and The Wrestler, of course. And you have a big project coming out called The Unbreakable Bunch. And it's coming out mid-October with a killer cast along with yourself, man.
Man, you know what? This came as a surprise. You know, I was just sitting home thinking about what do I want to do next. And I see a phone call from Glacier. And, you know, always a fun call. When Glacier and I talk on the phone, or Ray and I talk on the phone, it's kind of like always something good things. You know, we never talk negative to each other. Just good, friendly conversation. But this time, he's like, listen, Kat, I want to ask you if you would do something for me. So what? He said, I'm thinking about making a movie. Would you like to be in this movie? So I kind of hesitated a little bit. Then I said, wait a minute, what is the movie about? Because I heard some freaky stuff about you guys. Now, what kind of movie are you talking about? You know, and he said, it's going to be a good, friendly family, a movie a family can go watch. It's about wrestling. And I said, not another wrestling movie. Man, I've been in one big wrestling movie. How can I do this? And he said, it's about friends. So when he told me that's about friends, I kind of asked who would be. He said, some wrestler, some of the other guy. So I said, yes. And went down to Florida. We had a great time filming this movie, man. And I'm going to tell you, if any amount of that enjoyment that we had filming it, if any of that joy come across to you guys going to see, going to have fun watching this movie.
The Unbreakable Bunch coming out mid-October. Not only does it have our new friend Ernest here, it's got Glacier, like you said, Haku, Larry Zbyszko's in it. Man, they got the legends in here.
But you know what? I saw this interview where Ray said he would not call himself a legend. I will. I will call myself a legend. I am a damn legend.
You've heard it.
A bunch of legends in this movie. And you're going to have fun watching us. I have to have fun, you know, really have fun.
We'll be looking for that Unbreakable Bunch. We'll get more of that as it gets closer in mid-October. Ernest, today, though, we are going to have a very special experience. All the top guys and top gals that are part of Ad Free Show's family, they are watching this anytime, of course, as part of the content library. But tonight, while it's live, they can ask questions one-on-one with the cat. Are you ready, Mr. Miller?
Man, I stay ready. I'm not, listen, I want you people to know y'all don't scare me. You don't scare me. So go ahead, give me in, ask me anything.
Well, look, if the first guy survives, we're going to be all right. Here we go. We're going to get little Jimmy Sorensen in here with our first question of the night.
Oh, my goodness, not this guy. Man, what the heck? I know this guy.
How do we know each other?
Don't worry about it. I know who you are and I know where you live at. Go ahead and ask the question.
Hey, Bang. How you doing, my friend? Just want to know one thing.
What?
Why did you ever get the world title?
Say that again.
Why didn't you get the world title? You deserved it way more than Bret Hart ever did.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I was new to the game of wrestling. I came from a world of martial arts and karate where you actually had to really win and prepare to win the title of world champion. But when I got to wrestling, I knew nothing that, you know, I didn't know why they gave you a belt. I didn't know what belt you should get. So I knew nothing about a belt. But you know what? I still got over it. Without winning the world championship, I got to work with some great people. And I like glasses too, kid.
Well, a long time no see. It's been about a year, but I hope you've been doing good, my friend. Glad. So look, can we keep up with you?
You've been doing good too. I miss you, buddy.
Where did y'all hang out, Jimmy?
At this strip club. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Out there, boy. That boy looked like a kid, but that's a grown man who hang out at the strip club. I'm gonna expose you, kid.
Ernest was the man last year. He made a birthday, 25th birthday, real special.
Hey, yeah.
He took me to the airport, too. See, that's what's so good about wrestlers, man, wrestling, the world of wrestling. It's like you go to these events and you just make new friends. You can have, listen, you meet so many good people, man, that, you know what, I just feel like I'm so lucky to be in this world. You know, I met this kid, man. I didn't know anything about him. We just started talking. And Nathan, you know, we hung out and talked to each other every day last year in Chicago, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So it's good. This is good business being.
Jimmy has that way. He just ends up in people's lives, and then you can't get rid of him.
Just ask Sonny Ono.
We were just talking about him. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, Jimmy. Beat it.
Yes, sir.
Beat it. I don't know how to act, man. Come on, tell me. Make me calm down.
This is why I got you here.
I got to be nice to these guys, man, because I just got so much energy. I just left my karate class, man. I'm getting tested for a new black belt and my fifth black belt in a new style. So I'm really excited about, you know,
what's the new style?
It's a Japanese style called Oyama.
Wow.
And it's been around. It's a part of Kyokushin. So it's a really tough style. It's the toughest style I've ever taken. And like I said, I got four black belts in other style. So, you know, now at 60, here I am, probably doing the toughest style of all, you know. If I was doing it when I was 15, I probably couldn't do it because the punishment you put yourself through in class is just so crazy. But now that punishment that you put yourself through kind of make you a better person too. I know that kind of knock the door each way, but it kind of make you a better person because you can force yourself to do stuff that you don't want to do, you know? So that's good to be 60 and be able to still have that lust and love.
Out of the comfort zone and still liking it there.
There you go. That's what it is right there.
Darren Staley, you are next. And he's already said he's got some boxing and acting questions for you. So let's go. Darren, where you at, brother?
Hey, I'm here. Thanks for taking the time. There was some talk a while back about, I know there's the new George Foreman movie, but I know a while back there was some talk about maybe you doing a Foreman movie. Just kind of curious if you're a boxing fan, and I was a big Tyson era boxing fan, and I know Tyson fought Foreman when Foreman was kind of toward the end. Just wondering if you had any thoughts about Foreman or whatever happened with that project, and how do you think that would have went if Tyson had fought Foreman back in, you know, the Foreman Ali days?
Well, yeah, I did. I was casting for a movie about George Foreman. I think it was like right before I did the wrestler. But something happened to the production of one of the big sponsors. So they never really went through with the movie. until now. They got one now, but they never, you know, go through with the movie I would cast for. And as far as being a boxer and a boxing fan, I boxed when I was young. I started out boxing. You know, I did a little karate, but I started out boxing. And I was boxing against Holyfield and a lot of the top boxers at 15. And I was one of the top ones in the class. But for some reason, I went to, my dad took me to the to watch a movie, and it was a karate movie. And I remember this karate movie about watching guys kick each other in the face. So I said, I'd rather kick somebody than punch somebody. So I kind of switched it over and started doing martial arts. But me being from the boxing world, that put me into a different space when I became a karate guy. Back then, karate guys only used kicks. You didn't have guys who can box. They didn't have a lot of kickboxers that can box and kick. So I was one of the guys that was trained with my hands and feet. So, you know, and I do watch it sometime now, boxing, but it's not what it used to be, you know? And like you talk about Mike Tyson and Holyfield and George Foreman, you know, they were different specimens. I can't even say it. They were just different, you know, different types of people. You know, they worked hard, they trained hard, and they dedicated themselves to boxing. And that's all they gave for boxing, you know?
Is that it, Darren?
Yeah, no, that was great. So, yeah, I mean, my only other question was, you know, about, I'll take it even outside of Foreman. The big debate that people still talk about is what would have Tyson in his prime versus Ali in his prime? Who do you take?
Man, you know what? I go with Muhammad Ali. Tyson is like a bruiser. He's going to counter fighter. If he got you down, he's going to destroy you. But Muhammad Ali was more, he was like a beautiful ballet dancer. He can dance around till he figured you out. So once he figured you out, man, during that time, I don't think Mike Tyson will be able to hold up, you know, to the pressure that Muhammad Ali will put on him mentally, not physically, but mentally.
Yeah. So last kind of sub question, and I'll let you go. I appreciate you taking the time. What's the difference in the psychology? Talking about the old school, about the psychology of boxing versus the psychology of wrestling versus psychology of MMA.
And you know what? That's a great question, because I think with my history and my background in martial arts and fighting, boxing, and karate, I think that would help me to adapt to the psychology in wrestling, because it's all about pleasing the fans. You know, it's all about a champion, a good guy and a bad guy. So, you know, in boxing, sometimes the crowd gonna like you, sometimes they gonna hate you, but you are told not to listen to the crowd because you don't want to put them up front and start making mistakes trying to please the crowd.
But now, nobody likes you though.
Huh?
But nobody likes you though. Good thing I was there, because nobody likes you.
That's why I did not want to come on the thing, because I know Sonny was going to show up and try to talk me down. And, you know,
I'm always trying to put you over.
Can you get rid of Sonny, please? I was having a good time with Sirius. Now Sonny messing up everything. What the hell do you want, Sonny?
Because you didn't answer my call. I figured I'd come on here.
I talk to you every day.
See if I can get my $20 back.
No, you owe me $50 for this marketing thing right here. Been on my phone now for 8 months. So you owe me 8 months of $50.
Okay. You know, Ernest and I just want to come in and say hello, Ernest. And, you know, Ernest and I, we do talk to each other almost every day. So, yeah, he's a real good dude. After all these years, you know, people think that people in wrestling are all work, but Ernest and I actually go back before wrestling, and we've been, you know, we literally talk to each other almost every day.
And it's fun too. Like I said, with Glacier, whenever I see an ex-wrestler or somebody I worked with, it could be Stevie Ray, Eric Bischoff, it can be a lot of people that we work together with. It's always something fun. You know, it's something going to make you laugh. The conversation, is going to make you feel good. The wrestler don't call, they don't call me with negative stuff. It's like always something funny.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. I just want to come in and say hello. Good luck. Tell them all the stuff you know, but don't talk about that stuff that happened in Detroit. So, you know, just keep that up. Don't tell them about that.
Good to see you, Sonny.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Sonny.
How about Sonny Ono making a run in?
He just snuck his way up in here. I was trying to get in there. You know what? Doing an interview like this, you got to try to get in the...
Hey, don't use my name and sneak.
Where is he at?
He's not in. I'm Japanese. I was going to, but I heard you talk about me being sneaky.
You can't use
Japanese and sneaky at same sentence.
You the uncle that never leave. Please leave, Uncle Sonny.
I'm leaving now, and I ain't your uncle. Bye.
Yes, you are my uncle. My short uncle.
I'm not Uncle Tom. That's okay.
How about Tommy the uncle?
Now he's gone. He's gone.
Yeah, I'm glad. Man, I'm so happy. That's Sonny.
There we go. All right, let's get back to some questions.
Been on the road, man. You know this right here. This is, you know, answering questions and doing that stuff. You get on the road. Now, Sonny came and broke it up again.
Yeah, you were in the groove. All right, Lopez is in the house. Lopez has got a question, brother.
Oh my goodness, how do you top that? I mean, Sonny, you know, come in here and
Well, you don't have to worry about topping that. Just go ahead and do what you can do.
That's what she said. Anyways, you know, Ernest, I got to say, man, my dad and myself, we grew up on WCW, and you were a staple in our household. So anytime that I went to school, he'd always tell me, "Don't make me call your mother." And I was like, "Ooh," I knew I was in trouble then. So my question one, I just want to thank you for everything you've done for us. I got to see at Wrestling Showcase last year. It was great to see you back in the ring, even briefly. So I gotta ask, tell us a little bit about the history, the roots, if you will, somebody call my mother. Cause that was a staple in our household growing up on WCW. Here in a military household. So I'd love to hear that story.
Well, you know, that was kind of something kind of grew started in my neighborhood. It wasn't just me. It was like every bad guy in my neighborhood, every good guy. When things got too hard, the first thing they start doing, they cry out for their mama. Somebody called my mama. So I just took that and just put it in the ring and have fun with it. You know, somebody called my mama. I'm about to whip somebody just to let her know what's going on.
And that's still even, I'll tell you what, right now as a 38-year-old father, single father of two, I tell my daughters right now, don't make me call your mama. See, and they know. They know. I don't know if it's genetics, but I'm telling you, they know.
They know, you know, because mama wore the pants back in the old days, dad was always working. If you were going to get into something, hey, we got to call your mama and let her know what's going on.
This is true. This is very true. Like I said, it transcends the length of time. So from a young WCW watcher on my side to now being an older father, I got a middle schooler and an elementary kid. I'm telling them if I've got to go talk to the principal and superintendent, don't make me call your mama. Don't make me tell them to call your mama because they ain't going to like it.
Oh, man, that's great, man. That's great. And I'm glad I'm glad you enjoy yourself and watching WCW days, man. It really just kind of perks my heart up to hear that you watched us and you enjoyed us so much.
Thank you so much, everything. And Cassio, as always, good to see you, my man.
Thanks, all. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate you joining us tonight. How did the roots of I Can Beat Everybody in Under 2 Minutes come about?
You know, I'm going to be honest. I had over about 30 professional fights. And I always say I got to beat these guys and listen, you know, I got to beat them in 2 minutes. I don't want to go. outside 2 minutes, because if I did, you get tired. So I tried to finish the fight fast. So I just took that to the ring with me. You know, I listen. I'm going to try to take care of you in 2 minutes and get you out of here and get you home.
It hit so good. It was over instantly, man.
You know what? You know what most people don't understand is this right here. I came from the real world of combat fighting. Real fight. I mean, I fought kickboxing, knockout, bare knuckles, MMA. I fought all of that before I came into WCW. So the only thing I switched over was trying to control the techniques, but the mindset, the psychology was still there from the real fighting style that I would, the real fights that I had. So when I said I'm going to beat somebody in 2 minutes, of course I got whatever I got from the back, but you know, just to say 2 minutes mean, okay, I got to really try to take somebody out.
All right, let's keep it rolling. We got, who we got? Matthew Presley, you are up, and you are with Mr. Ernest the Cat Miller.
Ernest, how the hell are you, bud?
Man, I'm doing great, Matthew. How you doing?
I'm living life, my friend.
Look like you're enjoying yourself out there, man. Outdoors, nice. Yeah.
Hey, man, it's 20 years. Live at a campground, so every day's a holiday, man.
Oh, that's great, brother.
Yeah.
Great. So, the question kind of leads up from what you just said. So you had a pretty successful combat, you know, competitive fighting. You were a three-time world karate champion, I believe.
Yes.
So what makes a three-time karate champion, kick-ass mofo, decide that he wants to become a professional wrestler? And the second part of that, the transition, was it as natural to you as it appeared it was? Because it seemed like it come pretty natural to you.
You know what made the difference is let me see, how do I put this? What made the transition easy was money. The wrestlers back in those days were getting paid real good. I don't know if you've seen any of the contract, but you know, it was a lot of money in pro wrestling back then for a lot of people. So, you know, it's like, You train hard for 3 or 4 months and you have one fight and you know, you get a couple $100s, you know, you maybe get $1,000, $2,000. Not every fighter make the millions of dollars that boxers were making. So that was one reason I was able to get, just leave my career of professional fighting backward behind me and move into pro wrestling, because it was a career. You know, I had kids I wanted to take care of, and I took care of. Thanks to Eric Bischoff.
Now, was wrestling something that you always liked and wanted to get into, or did someone come to you and be like, hey, you know, you want to get
out? Right. Never thought about being a wrestler. I never wanted to be a wrestler. Now, I did grow up watching it with my grandfather, so I did know what wrestling was about. But let me tell you the story. Wrestling was so funny, man, that every now and then I watch it just to be entertained. You know, it's like I said, wrestling back then was like watching two of your uncles at the cookout get in the fight and you laugh because neither one of them can hurt each other, but they trying to. That was entertained like that. You know, the entertainment that you see today is like superb athlete. You know, it's almost like you're at the circus, you're at the fair. These guys can do anything. You know, but back then, the guys' body was looked good. They were big. They were kind of clumsy. They were kind of, you know, awkward. But at the same time, they were fun to watch them get in the ring with each other and try to hurt each other, supposedly.
Fair enough. Well, thank you, sir, for joining us, answering some questions. Have a hell of a night.
Nice talking to you.
You too, bud.
Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Grow some hair.
Look, if I could just freaking do it, I would do it. All right. It's bad genetics.
All right.
Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate it, man. All right. Let's keep it going. Michael Gallagher, you are in the spotlight with Mr. Ernest Cat Miller.
I like being in the spotlight. How you doing, Cassio?
Good, man. How are you?
Now, see, I can't say nothing about his hair. He got great hair.
Looking good.
Thank you. Good. Thank you. So Lopez definitely stomped over what I wanted to say, because I definitely wanted to be like, somebody call my mama. I'm speaking to Ernest the Cat.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to ask you was, I really enjoyed you in The Wrestler. How was your experience filming The Wrestler?
You know what? It was pure luck, because I didn't think anything. First of all, I'm going to tell you the story in a small package. I got a call from a guy in L.A. and said, hey, I hadn't been out to New York. But I get a call and someone in L.A. said, hey, this guy they filming a movie and they want to talk to you about a part in this movie. So give him a call. So I gave the guy a call in New York. They answer the phone and they say, yeah, your name will pitch to us. And we're doing a movie about a wrestling movie. We would like to see if you write for this part. And he said, I'll send you the script. So they sent me the script. Then they said, I called back and said, yeah, the script is good. I like the part. And then they said, okay, what you got to do, you got to fly yourself out here and you got to meet this director. That's a meet a director. Who's the director? It's a Darren Aronofsky. I knew nothing about Darren then, but a lot of people did. He was, he was like real one of the top directors then. So as I said, fly myself out there. I said, wait a minute. I'm not, I had just left LA. LA is a lot of, hey, you want to be in my movie? Yeah. Can you put up money to be in my movie? I was like, I've never heard that before. I thought you pay us to be in your movie. Always somebody trying to work you. So when they told me I got to fly myself to New York to be in this movie that I knew nothing about, I said, man, let me call and ask for some advice. So I called my friend Goldberg. I said, Goldberg, they just called me, asked me to come out to be in this movie, but they want me to fly myself out. What do you think? And of course, Goldberg said, are you crazy? If they want you in that doggone movie, they'll fly you out. You tell them, you're not coming out there till they fly you out there first class and put you in one of the best hotels. And I was like, okay, thank you, Goldberg. So soon I got on the phone, I called the guy and said, okay, I'll be out there tomorrow. Because, I'll fly myself out, I'll do all that. Because it must have been something to him, Bill, asking me to fly myself out there. So talking to a few friends, I get out there. And the first thing I do, I walk in the room, and then we start reading the part. And then, the guy, I read for Darren. Darren said, okay, I like that. He said, can you stay? When is your flight? I said, my flight leaves tomorrow. And he said, can you stay a few days? And I said, stay a few days for what? He said, I want you to read to somebody. So I heard on the way out there that they were making this movie with Nicolas Cage. So Nicolas Cage was the person I was expecting to read with, And I had heard that he was going to be there. But then next thing you know, the door opened up and this kind of DDP lookalike come through the door. So they said, Darren said, can you read with Mickey Rourke? I read, I said, yes. So we went over the part, the Ayatollah and Randy Brown. Boy, it was natural. It was so natural that Darren Aronofsky said, man, we could have taken that right then. And then Mickey Rourke said, he's a natural. So this is a good part for him. So, we start working the part, man, and working with Darren Aronofsky, Scott Franklin, another producer, and Mickey Rourke, man, was just like, it was made in heaven because everybody was just so, it was so much fun and so peaceful. Darren Aronofsky was such a great director, man, that all you had to do is just listen to and follow his direction and instructions. And we had a good movie. So he was great. It was great working with those guys.
That's a great story. Thank you, Mr. Miller. I appreciate your time.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, appreciate Cassio. You joining us. When did you know after it came out, hey, man, this thing's getting big? Were people noticing you all of a sudden? You got a big to get noticed for wrestling, but now it's a weird, different audience kind of.
It was kind of funny. I did not know the whole movie because everything. Remember, I came from WCW that were owned by Turner. So we can shoot one scene for wrestling and got 24 cameras. We got all these people standing around to make us look good with WCW. Now I go from there to making a movie and you have about two or three people on set. So to me, I didn't know, is this, the way they make movies or is it just a cheaply made movie? So I was thinking I was going to be on some small little cheap movie, you know, that they were low budget film. You know, I knew Mickey Rourke had his problems with Hollywood, you know, and Darren was kind of like an underground kind of with the Black Swan. And, you know, in another movie he made, they were all underground, but they were top movies. You know, they were indie movies. They were top movies. So, you know, as we were getting into making the movie, people started playing around like Darren and Mickey. And Darren told Mickey one day, hey, when you up there, you accepting the award for this film, winning an Oscar, you winning the best actor, you going to thank me then. And I was just out there, yeah, right. I'm looking like, right, this movie going to win any kind of award, you know, being this small movie about wrestling. But they knew the whole time that the movie was going to do well. And I first found out about it. I had a friend who worked for OWN Network. She was the president of OWN Network. And one day she called me and she knew I was in the film, had been in the film. And she said, hey, what was the name of that film you was in? I said, The Wrestler. She said, oh, that film is doing well on the film festivals. Said, it's doing really well. So, you know, I was like, oh, yeah. I didn't know what that meant, but right. I just felt good. I knew I was in the movie, you know. But I can tell you this. Ever since I've been a part of that movie, it opened so many doors for me, especially in L.A. And L.A., man, it's one of the best movies they said has ever made. Everything about it, they said, is brilliant. So if I wanted to meet any director, anybody in L.A., all I had to do is say, hey, I was in the movie The Wrestler. And they'll open the door and they invite me in. That movie, I mean, it's big around the world, but L.A., man, it was like really, really huge to them. Everybody liked the movie.
We loved it, too. Lopez, let's keep it going, man. You had another question for the cat.
No, I did. Thank you. Thank you, Cassio, for getting me in. And actually, this is great. Tell dove into my next question, because looking at the way that you entered into professional wrestling, like I said, the different storylines, gimmicks that you were in, and then obviously you were into the GM role, and then post WCW, you went into Hollywood. What advice would you give for those of us that are in careers, early in our careers, or even post careers, that you would give in terms of advice, if not direction from maybe higher ups? Because I know sometimes it's a little tough not to take it a little too personal, but given the scope that you've been in, what advice would you give for anyone in their career when it comes to higher up advice?
Believe in yourself. Mm. If you somewhere believe that you're there because you're supposed to be there. And guess what? Everything's going to work out. That's all you got to tell yourself. Everything is going to work out. And you know, I looked at myself. I didn't go to WCW saying, hey, I'm going to be Ernest the Cat Miller. I'm going to be this big time wrestler. I didn't do that. I went to WCW thinking, wow, this is an opportunity for me to feed my family, for me to become something that hopefully people like. And one of the big reasons I think I was successful because a friend got me in. Eric Bischoff was the one to get me in. And I just did not want to let him down. So whenever I stumbled, whenever I had a problem, I got over that problem because I can't stop here. Because if I stop here, I fail. And I don't want to let my friend down who to me, he stuck his neck out for me and gave me an opportunity to be the person that I turned out to be, the cat. You know, it was just that easy. Just believe in yourself.
And that's so good. I appreciate that, especially, like I said, given the range that you've had. From, and maybe some may say jobber to a predominant role in WCW. And then like you were mentioning earlier,
whoa,
there.
Whoa, with the role. Whoa, kid. Where you get that jobber in the cat? I never job for anybody. You weasel. You get your ass off this camera and stay off here. Don't bring him back. No, I'm just playing.
No, he's out.
No. Seriously, though, like I said, I appreciate all the advice. This advice, I think many of us can take away that advice, that experience that you had in so many different aspects of our lives, not just in career. Maybe it's being as a father, as a partner. I mean, gosh, you know, sometimes, you know, we gotta step up and, oh, we think that this is what we're supposed to do. But the truth is, nah, we gotta, like you said, believe in ourselves and believe in the role.
And be the best you can be, whatever comes your way, whatever come your way, be the do you. If you're a good person, be the best good person you can. It's all about how you treat people. Because believe me, what goes around comes around. If you treat a person the right way, you don't have to worry about him treating you that same way. And then WCW, people said, Cat, what made you able to get over so fast? Because remember, I was 35 when I came into the business. I had never wrestled before. I never did an indie show. I knew nothing about wrestling. And Nathan, you know, I'm sitting in the catering hall with Hulk Hogan, NWO, Ric Flair, guys I used to watch on TV, Sid Vicious. I'm sitting in the same locker room with these guys. And, you know, and I felt like, man, why am I here? But I know one thing, I'm going to be the best I can be. And with these guys around me, the first thing I knew to do was to talk to these guys. This, man, think about it. It's an open book. You're around all these guys. If they said, Cat, go out there and dance. I'll talk to Disco Inferno, or talk to somebody that said, how should I do it? What should I do? What should I think? And they will always give me direction and guidance. And I did it. I went out and I did it. But even Terry Taylor, hey, Cat, just go out there and tell people you don't like them. And I was like, wow, you just believe me. I went out there. Then Terry Taylor told me one day, don't pick on the whole crowd. Just pick on one. I said, why one? I said, because when you pick on one, the crowd will get with you. And that's advice that these guys gave me that, you know, I'm surrounded by superstars. Where else would I get my information from? I know nothing. But these guys were willing to give me all the information I needed. And that's why WCW, I was so successful in WCW. Now, when I went to WWE, it was a little different. There was a bigger world. It was the only business out there at that time. You know, WCW were purchased by them. So when I went to WWE, I didn't have that luxury of talking to people in the locker room because no one talked in the locker room. You know, everybody was like trying to keep their job. Didn't know, you know, I couldn't get advice from people. People weren't just walking around volunteering advice. So, you know, it's like, let me just end up, I said, let me just use my time to learn and we'll go from there.
Well, and I think this will be the last bit that I say here and it'll make Darren Staley at least happy there in the chat. But I think the great point that you make there is you were 35 when you came in. I'm 38. I'm a dad of two. I'm balding. I'm overweight. I got to get on the treadmill. I'm not going to lie, but it's never too late to start. And that's what I love about that message there. It's never too late to start. As long as you have an open mind, And you know, you listen and take advice because you never know what it'll take you. And so I really appreciate that insight and I appreciate this chat. So again, thank you so much.
All right, brother. Nice meeting you. Nice talking to you again.
Thanks, all. Ernest, was there anybody, you said nobody really gave you advice and it wasn't easy to get. Was there anybody in WWE that you clicked with when you got there?
You know what? It wasn't a thing of not clicking because me and Vince McMahon was hell of nice to me. I mean, he was like, anything I did, he laughed. He enjoyed it. You know what I mean? I could be standing in the hall. One day, I was standing in the hall back in the back, and we were getting ready. People were just coming in, and I was standing with Chris Kanyon and somebody else. Vince walked in. He walked up the hall. He walked past. He came and stopped right there in front of me, shook my hand, said, hey, Cat, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good, Vince. When he walked away, one of the guys looked at me and said, you know, I've been here for years. He never greeted me like that.
Wow.
You know, and so that's what I'm saying. Vince was really nice. If I wanted information, I could have went to him. But being in a business, remember, wrestling is a business. It's not just TV. It's a business. These people got jobs to do in there, you know. So, you know, if you don't understand that, like I did, at that time, I didn't know what I needed to know, but I was there. And I found out fast, you know, this is what I needed to know. So, you know, it wasn't anyone I didn't click with. I clicked with everybody.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, I know we're running low on time. Darren's got one more question. Darren, we'll get you back in here, man.
Yeah, no, it's kind of quick. Just kind of circling back on a couple of things. This is a two-part question that I'll ask really quick. You were talking about Goldberg, and you had spoken earlier about bare knuckle fighting. The first part of my question is, if you and Goldberg were in bare knuckles, how would that work out? And my second question would be, you're out there working as an actor. Have you ever thought about writing a script, or are you doing anything on that level as far as, you know, writing a movie?
You know what? Let's go to the acting part first. You know, it's like so funny. I have thought about doing that, writing the script and telling my story, you know, and my story go deep. You know, before I got into pro wrestling, I played a little pro football. You know, I became a world karate champion. I spend my time teaching kids karate and martial art and working with families who don't have a lot, then working with families that have look like they have everything. So that part of my life, I think, is an inspiration for, could be an inspiration for a lot of people who, just because I used to feel sometimes like I needed more, and at that time I didn't have more. But then when I got into wrestling, I had anything and everything I wanted to do, you know, so it's a good telltale story. So I thought about writing a book or something.
And you and Goldberg in a bare knuckle match?
You notice it took me a while to answer that. And I'm not going to answer that because Goldberg is one of my best friends. And, you know, but you know what happened. You know what. Good night and goodbye.
Thank y'all.
Thanks, man. And we'll wrap it up full circle. Our last question.
Wow.
Little Jimmy wanted to get back in here before we got out.
That 48 minutes that went fast, didn't it? What's up, little Jimmy?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for talking to Sonny. but
Sonny's a good friend, right? That's your guy, right?
Sonny's my guy.
Yeah, I could tell.
But I guess in a couple of weeks, it's going to be what are you most thankful for in your life?
In my life, having healthy kids and a healthy family and friends, good health.
Thank you, my friend. Like, I cherish each and every memory I can make with anybody. And
that's right.
You allowed me to take you to the airport at 7 o'clock in the morning after calling me, trying to, are you going to come and get me? Are you taking me? I'm like, yep, I'm getting up. I'm going. I'll meet you there.
I know it. Yeah, I know it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Well, Ernest, man, that flew by, man.
I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. Now you did. Listen, I know they said, Norm, this is not your normal job, right?
Me?
Yeah, doing this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all I do. Look, I ain't built for manual labor now.
Oh, okay. Well, you did a good job. You made it easy. I enjoyed myself.
Well, thanks, everybody, for asking your questions. And one more time, everybody get ready for the Unbreakable Bunch coming out in mid-October. Got our man here, Ernest Cat Miller, Glacier, Haku, Zabisco, and a bunch of his other friends and legends, plus Ray, since he said he's not a legend. We'll be on the lookout for that, and hopefully this isn't our last time. Hopefully we'll get a chance to chat with you again here at Ad Free Shows.
Hey, brother, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Appreciate y'all being top guys and top gals. Till next time.